Nehemiah chapter number 9. We're going to bounce around a little bit here in Scripture this morning, but we'll kind of settle down into the message. And Nehemiah chapter number 9, we're going to read a decent amount of verses here, just to kind of, as Nehemiah was to the children of Israel, he was kind of going back and talking about what the Lord had done, talking a little bit about what Israel had done in response to the Lord. And so we're going to do this. We're going to start in, let me go ahead and pray before we do it, but we're going to start in verse number 7, Nehemiah chapter 9. In verse number 7, let's just pray one more time and ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Lord, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would use me now at this time. Lord, use me to bring forth the word that you would have. Lord, to make the best message very clear this morning. But Lord, really, I ask that you would not only use me, but that your Holy Spirit would go forth with power, Lord, with boldness, and speak to our hearts. Lord, wherever we are in our Christian lives, whatever's going on, whatever we need this morning, Lord, as those that have come, Lord, not to hear from me, but to hear from you and your word, Lord, I pray that you'd be faithful to them, you'd be faithful to us, and Lord, strengthen us and use your word for your purpose. Lord, I ask that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people, that we would leave here knowing that you have done something for us. And then, Lord, allow us again to be thankful. Allow us to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 7. Nehemiah 9, 7. The Bible says, "Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed that has performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showedest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou, theirs went into the deep, and as the stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou lettest them in by day by the cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger." You can see how he's moving quickly through some of these things. He's kind of hitting the highlights. "And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which I had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." Now, this is a great verse to preach out of, but amen. We're not preaching out of that this morning. Pay attention to it, though. He is all those things in our lives. What a God we serve. Verse 18, "Yea, they had made them a molten calf and said, 'This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations.' Yet thou in thy mindful mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillars of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. And then he starts to go on into where he brings them into the promised land, that new generation into the promised land. But we're going to stop there because the text really comes out of here in verse number 21. And he says, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness. This idea of sustained, I'm going to preach you a message, the sustained Christian life. The sustained Christian life. Now, to be sustained is to be upheld or to be supported, is to be maintained, it's to continue. All right, to be sustained. Acts chapter number 20, verse 24 says this, and we think about it in the Christian life. Paul says, that I might finish my course with joy. If you're saved and you're born again, the moment you got saved, you got started and put in a direction that the Lord Jesus Christ turned you and desires for you to walk in that way and to continue in that course that he has for you. Now, the world has many different things for you to latch onto and to live your life for. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way. Amen. He said, the truth and the life. And so the idea in our lives, if you're saved and born again, is we should be following after Christ. Amen. He has given us a course to run. Now, I was talking earlier about kind of where I was growing up in Pennsylvania and then ended up in Florida and then going to New York and then coming all the way out here, right? And when you're back east, it's all the way out here is how we talk about it, all right? Like, what's the West Coast like? I don't know. It's way out there, right? But coming all the way here to Washington, so far, that's been the course that God has had for me. And he's desired for me to walk in that way. And, of course, in that course, not only in where I live, but in my marriage and with my children and in my family and in the ministries that God has placed me in and the different parts that I've had, that's all part of the course. And Paul says that I might finish my course with joy. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's the idea. I want to finish. Amen. I mean, I don't know how far along I am in this because I don't know when the end is. Right. I don't know when the Lord's going to take me or the Lord's going to come back. But I want to finish. I want to finish. And what does that mean? I need to keep going. Matthew chapter 25, we hear, well done, thou good and faithful. You know what? Well done. You've done good. You've done well, thou good and faithful servant. I want to finish. I want you to finish. I want you to finish well. This course can feel long at times. This is not a sprint. This is not, I got saved, and boy, I lived right for a little bit, and I just, man, I went at it, and then all was done. No, it's not done. You're here today. If you're saved and born again, you have a course to run. If you're not saved and not born again, man, right now you're on a course to a devil's hell. And Jesus Christ said he can save you, he wants to save you, and he can put you on a course to heaven. Amen. And give you eternal life. Man, what a life. Amen. And what a purpose to live in Christ. But we want to finish. And of course, the sustained Christian life is going to take some things from the Lord. Now, this isn't the first point. This is the obvious point, all right? I'm going to give you this one here. Of course, the sustained Christian life is going to be of the Lord's strength. You can't live this life in Christ without him. You can't do it. You can live some type of life that you think might be in Christ and kind of float through life thinking, well, this is what the Lord would want. But the Lord is very clear to lead and guide and direct, just like he did the children of Israel that we read in Nehemiah chapter number 9. But look in Psalm chapter number 3. The book of Psalms, we're going to go to Psalm 3. And we're going to read verse number 1. Psalm 3, verse 1. David says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, Amen. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. Amen. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Amen. The Lord sustained. He says, I'm surrounded by enemies, and the way is not easy. People are saying there is no help for him in God. But he says, the Lord sustained me. Look in the same book, but chapter 55, Psalm 55. In verse 22, the Lord will sustain you in this Christian life. He will sustain you. He will be enough for you. Psalm 55, 22. Again, a psalm of David. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will sustain you. He will give you the strength to be not to be moved in this world. And there's a lot of things pushing against you to move you off of your stand as a Christian, to move you off of the stand of this Bible, to move you off of the stand of giving God glory and honor with your life, and to live clean and to live pure and to live holy. Many, many pressures to move you off of that point. But he says he'll sustain you and that you won't be moved. The Lord will do it. We can cast our burdens upon him, and the Bible says he'll sustain us. Say, I can't make it. You can make it. You can make it. Say, how do you know? How can you know? You've never been what I've been through. Yes, there are circumstances and things in this life that you may face that I have not faced. But say, how do you speak with such confidence? It's just easy for you to say because you're not going through it. Because the Bible says the Lord will sustain you. That's what he says. And his word is far better than my word. Cast your burden on him and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings 17. We'll start in verse 1. 17:1. 1 Kings 17. Verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, that's a king of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel now, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Well, that's going to take some faith. There's not going to be any rain, so you go hang out by this brook, and don't worry about the food. The ravens are going to take care of you. So how'd that work? I don't know. I've heard some preachers with some great imagination talk about those ravens. Ahab, the king, of course, it didn't like Elijah and was worshiping false gods. You know, he talks about his ravens flying around the palace and out there in the palace veranda. There was probably his grill going, all these steaks were going on the grill, and these ravens came down. Take a couple of those steaks, fly off, and drop them at Elijah's feet. That's good eating. Because when the Lord sustains you, he doesn't sustain you lightly. He sustains you. He says, I have the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh, that's where it came from, in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. To sustain thee. Of course, the Lord is going to sustain you, but the Lord uses others to help sustain you as well. And thank God for that. Thank God that He does. But the Lord is the one that will sustain us. Listen, the Lord is the one that's going to get all the credit when you stand before Him someday. When you stand before Him, He's going to get all the credit. But the Lord doesn't work until you take a step of faith. I was having that discussion this week is, man, you can take a step of faith and the Lord can open up His peace unto you and open up His word unto you and open up very clearly. This is exactly what He wants for you to do in your Christian life. But we have to trust Him and trust that He will sustain us and take that step that we're unsure of in our Christian life. Take that step to say, Lord, I believe this is what You want me to do. And you take that step, and then God says, you went first by faith. Now I will give you the peace of God, and I will give you some evidences of that faith. And I will do these things for you in your life. Why? Because He's the one that's going to sustain us. And He gives us direction, and He gives us what we should do, and we step out by faith, and if we do that thing, then God says, and here's My blessings. Here's My blessings, and here's how I'm going to sustain you. It takes that step of faith. There are things in this life with the power of the Lord, but there are things in this life that we need to do so that we can live the sustained Christian life. The Lord will help you, but there's things that we need to do in our lives, and that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the sustained Christian life. I want to give you five things that we need in our lives to have a sustained Christian life that will help you have a sustained Christian life. I'd like to say number one. Number one is be thankful. Amen. Be thankful. This Christian life has a way of, it's life. We're Christians. We want to live after God. But life happens to all of us. Time and chance happens to them all, the Bible says. The rain falleth on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. And so in this Christian life, sometimes we get this idea that God is going to sustain us, and Him sustaining us means that everything is going to be amazing all of the time. That's what we can kind of get this idea. I was living for self, and then I got saved, and man, I saw the blessings of the Lord, and I saw the blessings of salvation and the promises, I will never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. And so that must mean that living for God is going to basically be me sitting outside in the sun on a day like today in a hammock with my hands behind my back and just unlimited lemonade and snacks. That's going to be the Christian life. Every day is just you're going to wake up singing zippity-doo-dah. And you're just going to be whistling a little tune to yourself as you go off to the best job in the world with no adversity from coworkers. A family is just going to, they're going to live like saints and angels. I'm never going to have any trouble with children. I'm never going to have any trouble with distant relatives. I mean, everything is just going to be amazing. And boy, our attitudes after salvation should be thankful. And then all of a sudden when we hit the cloudy day, the rain coming down, and we're staring out the window at the hammock, and we're all out of lemonade, and we're dealing with some jerk at work, and we say, wait a minute. You know, it would sustain us if we're thankful. If we can continue to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Hebrews 13:15 talks about the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto God. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Hop into the New Testament now, Colossians chapter 3. I I know you're familiar with this verse, but it's good to look at them and to let the words of God speak to our heart as we hear them and read them. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Whatever we do in this life, in word or deed, we're supposed to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. But that's not all. We're not just supposed to do stuff. We're supposed to be giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. Don't be a griper. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a murmurer. Be thankful to God and to others. I mean, I understand, you know, we can get this idea that the power of positive thinking, right? We can get the idea that somehow mentally we can just surpass everything and we can just, you know, we can just fix it if we just stay positive, right? But there is some truth to it. You know full well when you have an attitude of thankfulness to the Lord for what he's done and you hit the speed bump that you weren't looking for on the road and your teeth are rattling out of your face, right? And you're saying, what is happening? You understand, when you're thankful to the Lord, it's different. It's different. When you, long before the speed bump, when you were already, man, I can't believe this, and just griping and moaning and belly aching, then when you hit the speed bump, I mean, then you got to check yourself a little bit. Why? Because you're already in a bad place. We need to learn how to be thankful. Thankful unto him. Thankful to one another. Just being willing to be thankful. To say thank you to people. You ever hold the door open for people? You know, and they just walk right through and kind of look at you and walk right through the door. You're welcome. That's probably not the best thing to do. I'm just trying to keep up my manners. All right? Even though they didn't say thank you. It's just little things. Just being thankful in our lives. Understanding what the Lord's done for us in the good times and the bad times. The Bible says, be content with such things as you have in Hebrews 13, verse number 5. It's being thankful. Someone once said, the key to happiness is a thankful heart. A thankful heart. You want to be sustained in this Christian life? Be thankful. Amen. Be thankful. Keep going. The idea is we want to finish. If we're going to finish with joy, that means we're not going to finish murmuring and complaining and belly aching the whole time. And I'm there with you. I'm not saying this from any, I mean, I can come right down here to your level and say, we need to be thankful. Amen. Feels weird down here. We need to be thankful. I'm right down here on your, I don't preach this, you know, a couple steps up. We need to be thankful. Amen. For what the Lord's done for us. And say, Lord, well, this isn't really going the way I want, but could be going worse. But I'm praying for so-and-so, and they have it worse than I do. They're going through this other thing. And Lord, this isn't how I'd choose it. But thank you, Lord, for being good and providing for me. Amen. I know I hit the speed bump, Lord. I know my teeth almost came out, but the car's still together. Thank you for keeping the wheels down on the pavement. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for. Amen. I've said this before, but, you know, working construction for 20-some years, being out there, not everything always goes perfect, and not every hammer that you swing lands on the exact spot that you want it to land. And so when you misgauge or when something happens and you smash a finger or a thumb or something like that, a lot of things go through your mind when that happens. A lot of thoughts, a lot of things, some that need to stay inside, some that are permitted to come out. A lot of things happen. And say, were you just trying to be funny? No, it came from a sincere place in my heart. But when I would come down with a hammer and smash my thumb, I'd go, urgh! I'd say, okay, thank you, Lord, for a thumb to smash, I guess. Right? I mean, say, oh, you're just trying to be cute. No, nope. I was attempting to be thankful at a moment of least thankfulness, right? And so what is it? There's things to be thankful for. And say, how can we live the sustained Christian life, be thankful? Like, say this secondly. Secondly, be thankful firstly. Secondly, I'd like to say, what can we do? We can have integrity. Have integrity. Look in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Proverbs 11, 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. Integrity. Having some integrity. Being honest. Having some purity. Being genuine. A definition is moral soundness. Having some integrity in our lives. It'll go a long way to sustain us by just having some integrity. The world lacks it. By nature, I lack it. But through the Lord, I can have some. Amen. I can have some integrity. Say, what do you mean? Keep your word. Amen. Keep your word. Let your word mean something. Words don't mean anything in the world anymore. That's why we have contracts and we have lawyers and we have everything else. Why? Because the word doesn't mean anything. A handshake doesn't mean anything. An agreement used to be made and then they'd shake on it. They'd shake hands on it and say, okay, this is our agreement that this thing is going to happen. We need some integrity. Some integrity to stand out from everybody else. Some integrity to pay our bills. I mean, some simple things in life, we should have some integrity. We should have people that know us well enough to say, they just said they were going to do their best to do this, and they're going to do their best to do it. Amen. Why? Because they have integrity. They just said that they didn't have any part in this thing that went bad, and I believe them because they have integrity. I believe them, but they didn't have anything to do with this bad situation because there's been other things that have happened, and they said, I was part to blame for the thing going wrong. Having some integrity to say, I messed it up. I said the wrong thing. I forgot. I did this other thing. It's integrity. And having some integrity will help sustain you in this Christian life. Brother Bailey's grandfather, so we're going back now, all right, I don't know what year. Brother Bailey's grandfather took out a loan from the bank for $10,000. And he took out a loan for $10,000, and back then, the equivalent now was about a $100,000 loan. So $10,000 was a good chunk of money. And he took out this loan. Well, his grandfather passed away. And in passing with that circumstance, the loan was wiped clear. Brother Bailey's father went to the bank and said, I'm going to pay back my father's loan. And they said, Mr. Bailey, a lot of Bailey isn't going on in my head right now. I'm trying to keep three generations straight. Mr. Bailey, you don't have to pay back this loan. It's been cleared. It's okay. And with his death, that loan's been cleared. He said, no, I'm going to pay that back. And it took him a while to pay that money back. But he did. He paid that loan back. Say, what happened later? Well, Brother Bailey's father, who paid the loan back, he started a business. And that business with some other individuals, that business needed capital. You know what happened when he walked into the bank? And they said, oh, Mr. Bailey. He said, we need some money. They said, whatever you need. Whatever you need. Why? Integrity. Integrity. His word meant something. We're in Proverbs. Look in chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse number 7. Proverbs 20, verse number 7, the Bible says, a just man walketh in his integrity. Look what it says, his children are blessed after him. Well, how does that work? Because of Proverbs 22. Look in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. Proverbs 22, 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. What is that? My children are going to have to build their own integrity. But until they get to the age to be able to do that, my name means something on them. My integrity means something on my wife and on my children until they establish their own integrity. And it's a good name rather to be chosen. There was a very successful businessman, and he was giving a talk at a seminar about just business and hiring people and how you work with all that. And he said this. He said, when hiring, look for three things. He said, look for ability, look for intelligence, and look for integrity. And he said, and if they don't have the third one, integrity, forget the first two. Then what's he saying? Integrity means something. Your ability and your intelligence only goes so far if you don't have any integrity. And in this Christian life, we, of all people, should have integrity because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he's done for us. And say, what will happen? It'll help you sustain this Christian life just by keeping some integrity for yourself. Be thankful. Have integrity. Number three, take the long look. Take the long look. So what do you mean? Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. A verse here, Philippians chapter number 3, verse 20, we went over in Sunday school. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? It's not looking on the things right here around us, in the cloudy time, in the rainy time, in the time of the valley, in the time of the storm, whatever illustration we want to use for those difficult times in life. It's not to dwell on just what's happening right now at the moment, but it's to have the long look. I've preached a message about the horizontal look versus a vertical look. We're looking down here. The other way to say it is, We're looking way out to what's coming, and what we know by the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, turn with me, please. Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sounds like a course, doesn't it? A race has a course. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What are we to do? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. We're running this race. We're supposed to be looking ahead. Looking ahead. Depending on the race, depending on the course, you can't spend all your time looking at your feet. You got to look ahead. What's coming? Who's in front of me? What danger is going to be there? If you ever seen those individuals run those hurdles on the track, you can't be looking like this. Why? Because that hurdle's coming quick. Faster you run, quicker that hurdle comes. What do you need to be doing? Eyes on the next hurdle. Run, jump. Eyes on the next hurdle. Run, jump. Eyes on the next hurdle. What are you supposed to keep your eyes ahead when you're running a race? You can see what's coming. You can see what's happening. You can see the finish line. We're supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because we're running a course. We're running a race in this life. We have a course to finish. Yeah. We need to be looking to the Lord and looking to him. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13, Philippians 3:13. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Philippians 3:13. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Press forward. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why? We have a course to run, and as a Christian, and there's so many Christians just always looking behind them. They're always looking behind them. Do you notice when you get in your vehicle today and you drive to wherever you're going to drive, you get in that vehicle, one thing you'll notice is you got this big windshield in front of you, right? You got this big windshield. Why? Because you need to see what's going on. And it has a rear view mirror, but it's only like this big. Why? We need to see what's going on ahead of us. We need to look forward. It's okay to look back, but we can't be spending all of our time looking in the rearview mirror. I wouldn't advise trying it. Take me at my word. I wouldn't advise trying to drive forward looking in your rearview only. Right? It's there. There's some purpose, but it's small. It's little. We're supposed to be looking out ahead. We can't be dwelling, "Well, back there, boy, I sure was a good Christian. Sure did a lot for the Lord back then. What about now?" Well, no, forward. Amen. Forward. "Boy, I sure failed the Lord back then. Looking in that rearview mirror at the failures, man, I can't serve God. I can't stay faithful. I can't, man." No, those are back there. If you've taken care of it with the Lord, guess what? The Lord's forgotten about it. Amen. It's what the Bible says. "And we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Amen. You and I, we might be able to forgive, but we don't often forget. You know what the Lord does? Forgives and forgets. And He moves on. Say, "Well, you don't understand, boy, I really messed up back there." Yeah, but if you got that right, that's back there. Yeah. Say, "What's lying ahead?" I don't know what's lying ahead. But we need to press forward. We need to take the long look. Yeah. We need to say, "All right, Lord, I want to keep serving you." And when things are very uncertain around us, we take a long look, we look up to the Lord, and we say, "Lord, I want to keep going. I want to keep going." And by His leading and His guiding, Him sustaining us will guide us where we need to go. But we need a long look, a long look. We all must give account of ourselves. But we can take a long look, and a long look will help sustain you in this Christian life. Amen. All right, not only that, but fourthly, if you're keeping score, fourthly, what'll help sustain us? The Scripture. The Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Be thankful. Have integrity. Take the long look. The Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Doctrine divides. Reproof and correction is when we start heading the wrong way. Instruction in righteousness is when we haven't done anything wrong. It's instructing us of how to go forward. That's what the Scripture is given to us for. Verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Amen. Perfect like I'll never make a mistake? No, not that perfect. Perfect as in I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm on the course. I'm in the race. I'm going forward. I'm looking ahead. I'm trying to be thankful. I'm establishing some integrity in my life based on the things of the Lord. And I'm going forward. I'm right where God wants me. I'm perfect in God's will for me today. The Bible says, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You realize that if all you had in this Christian life was a Bible, it'd be enough. Amen. That doesn't mean stay home from church. You're not that spiritual. You need the help. That's why God gave it to us. But if he took it from us, we would have all we would need in the Word of God. If, as a preacher, if all the books in the on the bookshelf and if all the study helps that we have were gone and were taken, and I just had to stand up here and preach to you with no help other than God and the Word of God, guess what? That would work. I feel sometimes when I hear certain preachers that they need a little bit more of God and the Word of God than all the extra. But it would be enough for us to live our lives and know what to do without the help and the instruction of the preacher, without the help or instruction of our friendships. We would have enough. Amen. Truly furnished. What? The Word of God, the Scriptures. I want to finish. How am I going to finish? It better involve this Word. Amen. It better involve the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to memorize it. We need to study it. I thought studying was just what preachers did. No. It's an amazing book. Amen. And when the Lord shows you a little bit of something, gives you some light on something, set aside some time and, okay, I want to dig more into this. And boy, I had this Bible study that I heard and, you know, and people, if you talk about the Bible, people come talk to you about the Bible and some things you say, yeah, I saw that and that was awesome. And other times you go, never heard of that in my life. That was pretty interesting. And you go through and you study things out and, you know, we're down there and it's, like I said, it's just some preachers down there and Bible comes up, hey, what about this? What about this other thing? What about this other thing? You know, and then depending on who you're talking to, you know, all of a sudden it's like, all right, we're going deep. What about this verse? You put that with that. How'd you do that? What about this other thing? And you just start talking about why, because it's such an amazing Bible, such an amazing book that God gave us. And we study it, and we read it, and we memorize it, and we study it, and we love it. Amen. And what happens? Oh, it sustains us in this life. You might be going through something in this life, and the Lord might give me a verse, and I might say, this verse right here would really be a blessing to you, and you read it, and you say, oh, yeah, thanks. But when God himself gives you something out of his word to sustain you, oh, it didn't come from me. It didn't come from somebody else. It didn't come from a little, you know, blip on Facebook to sustain you. No, it comes from the Word of God. Yeah. And the Creator of the universe, the Savior of your soul, gives you something out of the Word. Man, you cannot replace that. Yeah. You can't replace that with a million messages. You can't replace that with 100 friends. You can't replace when God gives you something out of the Word. To do what? To sustain you. The sustained Christian life is going to involve the Scripture. It's going to involve the Scripture. And you're going to have to put some effort into those things. I'd like to say this lastly. Lastly, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to say this before we read the scriptures. This last and final point here about the sustained Christian life is having eternal expectations. We talked about the long look, but this is eternal expectations. Let's start reading in verse number 13. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says, this light affliction. Yeah, you've read about Paul's light affliction. You've read about what he's gone through. You read about the beatings and the shipwreck and the hungers and the fastings and the... You've read about all that. Stoned to and left for dead. Lord said, not done with you yet, Paul. And Paul gets back up and crawls out of the rocks, literally, and says, what does the Lord want from me? And he goes for what? He wants to finish his chorus with joy. He has a chorus. What's he say? He says, I'm looking at the things that are eternal. I'm looking at the things that are to come. I'm looking at the things that I try to sit down and close my eyes and envision what it's going to be like to be in heaven, envision what it's going to be like to be with the Savior. And boy, the pictures, it's just... Our Hollywood eyes and minds that just can't quite put it together. We're going to be so far, we're going to be like the Queen of Sheba talking to Solomon, like the song says, the half has never been told. What it's going to be like. What it's going to be like. Keeping our mind on eternal things. Turn lastly to Colossians 3. This is the last verse here, Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. It's a singular affection, by the way. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. What is he saying? Set your affection on things above, because man, it's going to be way better someday. And then look in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members. He's saying live in this way because your affection is set on things above. They're set on things of God. And what's going to sustain you in this life is when you can't muster up enough strength to do anything else, you can't think you can take one more step, you just can't do anything in this Christian life, you know what you can do? You can have the eternal expectations of what it's going to be like someday. And say, Lord, if you don't take me now, I know that you are going to take me someday. And Lord, I know when I, if you never shine one more drop of sunshine on me. If there's not one more warm ray that touches my skin, someday it's all going to be better. Amen. Someday it's all going to be glorious. And someday that you are going to be the very light of our existence, and there won't be any clouds or darkness again because of who you are. Those eternal expectations, being with the Savior and seeing loved ones who have gone before, and no more pain and no more heartache, no more bills, no more politics, no more mess. And we're just going to be with Him. Amen. If you're saved and born again, that's our eternal expectations. We can close our eyes and we can look up towards heaven and say, boy, someday I'm going to be there. Someday I'm going to be there with the ones I miss. And someday I'm going to be there with the ones that have plowed and gone on before and set the example and that I can look to and say, they finished, I can finish. God help them, God can help me. And we can keep going, taking our course and going all the way home to glory. How are we going to be sustained in this Christian life? Well, the Lord's going to do it. The Lord's going to have to sustain us, but what's our part? What's going to help us? So what can I give you that Brother Bailey gave me to say, this can sustain you in your Christian walk? Well, it's to be thankful. Be thankful before you complain. If you're going to complain, thank God for something first and then complain. See if you change your mind after you get something to be thankful for. Have some integrity in this life. Be set apart. Let people say, When you tell them, when you finally get a chance to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again believer, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I'm doing my best. They're going to say, I knew there was something about you. I knew there was something about. Why? Because if you have some integrity, people will know. They'll see it. And you just get to tell them where to get the credit. Have some integrity in this life. Take the long look. Look way down. Stop. Don't look back. Don't look at the pitfalls right here that seem like you can never get over the pitfalls. Let the Lord sustain. Have a long look. The scripture. It's foundational. It'll sustain you. And then the eternal expectations, standing before the Lord someday and being in heaven. What a day that will be. Amen. When my Jesus I shall see. Man, what a day. Until then, what do we need to do? Keep going. Keep walking. Keep being faithful. And do some things in your life that will help sustain you so that we can get to the end and say, finished. I finished. Amen. And I had some joy along the way. And I finished my course and will stand before the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. You were the one. Amen. That kept my feet moving and kept me upright. Thank you, Lord, for all those things. Let's go ahead and pray this morning.